Yes.
Okay.
Okay, as I said, the while we're at tea, please visit the flip cards. They are all up where we had lunch. Is that where we're having tea?
Yes.
And then by the end of tea, please go and stand in front of the chart that you really would like to discuss. But as I said, if there is more than one challenge that you want to be involved with, do put your name down so that you, clearly, and even your email so that you can be contacted. So, and then we need to, we will then meet all together where we had lunch at 4:15, yes?
Yes.
At 4:15, so that we can have the report back from each group. So one person report back, just 2 or 3 minutes, please, so that we can have all the groups and then have a general discussion as what we going to do forward. Now, I'd like to take a couple of minutes to actually bring together some of the threads that we've heard today, because I think we did hear, even though some of the speakers did not specifically use complexity until late this afternoon, I think there was a lot there. For example, Bernard this morning said quite clearly that you cannot precisely define the crisis, but you can look at the traits which can be foreseen and catered for. I think that is very important, and this is precisely what we can do with complex systems. We can identify patterns of behavior, even though we cannot say very precisely at time 1354 this event is going to happen, or this kind of behavior is going to take place. And I think we need to understand that distinction. And it is those patterns that help us to explore what we call the space of possibilities. What is it that could happen, and actually work through scenarios there and prepare. I think it's important, what has also come through is that this issue is very much a multidimensional problem with multiple stakeholders. I mean, we heard about the PPP relationships, and here relationships are absolutely key. It is how do we develop relationships between the hospitality industry, between the security services, between the media, et cetera, et cetera. In fact, we had a very good discussion over lunch where that was really brought up very, very strongly, that the stronger these relationships, the more you're likely someone to pick up the phone and say, something may be happening. The other point, I think, is not just a matter of physical security. We can go on and on and on adding more physical security, and we saw the effect that had in this morning in the two hotels. But the social security aspect, I think, is absolutely essential. Ultimately, it's awareness of every individual, of both the employees and the public, and then what do you do with that information? It is the joining, again, somebody says, it's the joining of the dots. And it is seeing that pattern, the pattern that the dots actually bring up. And in response to that, as Alan said, it's evolving security procedures. I'd like to take it one step further. It is because everyone spoke about evolving and adapting. I would suggest evolution is only the short-term step. We are adapting to changes that are happening in our environment. But that very act of adaptation actually triggers changes in everyone else that we are in contact with. So if one hotel is making a particular change, other hotels will be affected, the terrorists themselves will be affected, the security services will be affected. Now, if we have reciprocal influence that changes the behavior of the interacting entities, and this is a reciprocal dynamic, then we have co-evolution. This is a very powerful notion that comes through complexity. If we understand those co-evolutionary dynamics, we can actually say quite clearly that even the smallest action, so the awareness of a single employee taking that information and actually being part of the one dot, makes a huge contribution. So it is that connection, and it is very, very powerful indeed. You talked about the cosmology episode. I also don't like the term, but what you were referring to, again, is very powerful. When a system is working under specific conditions, and then there's a very powerful external perturbation, which is, for example, what happens after a merger or acquisition, which is what happens with a terrorist attack. Major things that push organization away from their normal ways of business, away from how they were working in the past, because the external perturbation has caused such a major change that the organization can simply not continue working the way it has worked in the past. It has to create new order, it has to change. And at that point, that bifurcation point, it is very creative because it's exploring alternative options. And if we don't understand that, again, we're looking at crisis in a totally different way, because crisis could actually be a very innovative, very productive, very creative push into creating something new that is much. So resilience is not just adaptation. Resilience is actually the power of the co-evolving dynamic. And this is really what we need to look out. And the final thing is that all the work we've done, it is in A, identifying the complex problem space, the multiple interacting dimensions that create and continuously recreate the problem space. Because once you've got that deep understanding, you can then take very practical steps and to create an environment, a co-evolving environment, that actually constantly responds and addresses the complex problem. It is a very dynamic thing. It can be very, very practical. And it is, as you say, all the, even though it is at the macro level, nevertheless, we can also have it at the micro level effects. Okay, so if that's the end of the reflection.
If I can just add a couple of points. Clearly, terrorism is a complex system, and a complex system is characterized by many agents, many components that interact and interrelate, right?
Exactly.
And they have a specific purpose. Okay, so that's, if we look at any terrorist group, this is what they are doing. It becomes increasingly complex because the connection between the different components starts now to become looser and looser. In the past, we had RAF, under my hope, we have IRA, we have the Red Brigades,
mm-hmm.
which were quite structured organizations. Today, if we look at jihadism, for example, it's changes. Now, what we used to have a core Al-Qaeda with Obama. Osama. sorry, apologies.
Yeah.
With Osama being the leader and having his generals and his lieutenants and, you know, the structure there at the top. But what's happening is that we see less and less of that now, and we see emerging the different groups. We have Lashkar al-Taiba, we have Jamaat Islamiyah, we have the groups that are connected with Al-Qaeda, but they are independent as well. And some parts of those groups do not want relationship with Al-Qaeda, they want to do it their own way. We have the franchises of Al-Qaeda. We have the Al-Qaeda and the Arabic Peninsula, we have the Al-Qaeda at the Islamic Maghreb, which play a role, will play a role, we don't know. But most importantly, what we have is under those semi-organized groups, we have the individual jihadists.
Mm.
And last November, there was a call in an online magazine, which is called The Echo of Battle, I think, in Arabic, where the leader of Al-Qaeda of the Arabic Peninsula was asking the jihadists, individual jihadists, to attack no matter what target, as long as they are part of, you know, the tyrants of the West. And we are seeing a shift also in targeting. We are seeing a shift in modes of operation. We used to have vehicle-borne IEDs. We used to have suicide bombers. But now we see some change, like, for example, the attack at the Serena Hotel, which was with weapons, the attack at Mumbai, which was, again, a group just with weapons and not, you know, a very elaborate bombs or anything like that. We had the recent attack at Pune, which was just a rucksack with explosives. And the whole thing becomes even more complex. Now, the approach that we have taken so far is very, very much command and control, like a military approach, which emphasizes on physical security and emphasizes on we can do it alone.
Yeah.
And what we need to understand and what complexity actually says is it's not viable anymore. You're not looking at you know, one size fits everything is not applicable anymore. We're not looking at, you know, Muslim, dark-looking between 17 and 14. You know, we are looking at women, we are looking at Western people, and we have seen examples recently. We have seen with Richard Ray. We have seen with Hadley now, the whole story that, you know, it's not a standardized thing. It becomes increasingly complex. And what we need to understand is that we have to reach out of our silos, right? And very well mentioned by David, if the hotel reaches out to its community and builds this relationship with the community, then the community itself will protect the hotel from a possible attack, because the information will flow and we will have the response that we need to have. It's not about eliminating terrorism. This will never happen as long as poverty and other factors are there, but it's reducing as much as possible the risk of it. I think that the discussion topics that we have touch upon all this thinking, and having these ideas in your mind, not, as you said, complexity reduction, which is all about, you know, physical security or bombing, you know, the entire Pakistan or bombing the entire Afghanistan. It's understanding that the problems will stay with us, and we need to do to take a different approach. So, thank you.
Okay, so we now go up where we had lunch.
We are going to have some tea now.
Now, what about people taking their things with them?
Please take all your stuff, because there's a class taking place in 5 minutes. So, if you can take everything that you have and you can use.